Today's learning should be Zchus for Refuah Shleima for Chaim Yeshua Ben Hendel. Should have a speedy recovery from all of the issues. There's a lot to talk about this morning, and I don't mean on the sugya of Nesina, which is the sugya that we have photocopies and we're supposed to be learning this morning. It's been a very emotional last couple of days, and a lot of different reasons for a lot of different things. The political situation, we lost two great gedolim this last couple of days. And there's just a lot of feelings and emotions and a lot of things stirring, I think, in many people. Obviously, right now is the Levaya for Abdullah Feinstein Zatzal, one of the great gedolim of our generation, one of the great poskim, one of the great leaders, but more than anything, one of the most normalist people you'll ever meet, which is what I liked about him. I like normalcy. Not, you know, people that are living in a different world that can't connect to us. I had the privilege of speaking to him once and learning. I went down to see him in the Lower East Side. Very normal, regular, none of the fancy garb. Very, very run-of-the-mill. And they used to have a pizza store in the Lower East Side. If you wanted to see him, you'd go see him. He used to sit in the pizza store Friday afternoon eating lunch. That's the type of godly he was. He was very normal. No fanfare, none of the shtolf that comes along with the gedolim today. Very, very simple. Never put on the malbush. He always wore a regular hat. A very, very simple, regular, huge Talmud Chacham. Not taking away from his godless material. It was a huge Talmud Chacham. It's very normal, very talk, easy to talk to. I was talking to a fellow in my shul who grew up in the Lower East Side. He said, "It's just a regular guy. He walked down the street. You can talk to him. Accessible, available. Not, well, you know, hard to reach. Not you have to wait online. Very, very just wonderful, wonderful year. And obviously a great gadol b'Torah, one of the great poskim of our generation. So obviously the loss is hard to even imagine. You know, today with technology, we can miss the Levaya and still watch the Levaya later, which is a pretty amazing thing. You know, the Levaya is happening 9:30 in Lower East Side, but we'll be able to watch it later for those who want to. But we know, Chazal tell us, that Mises Tzadikim is Mechaper. Mises Tzadikim, when a Tzadik is taken away from us in our generation, it's supposed to be a Kapar. It is a Kapar for us. How we understand that, I think there's many Pshatim, we've mentioned this in the past, this Gemara. One of the Pshatim I always thought was it requires all of us to be better. Who's going to fill that void of Abdullah Feinstein? Who's going to fill that void of that Koyach Hayro, that Koyach HaPsak? Someone's going to fill it. Someone's going to step up. We got to raise the next generation of gedolim. So we got to do something. What happened over here?
It's me talking.
Even worse, I have to hear myself. That's for sure the worst thing. About. Okay, I don't know what happened over here. In any case, everybody say, so, because I'll tell us that Misa Tzadik was Mechaper. So obviously, it's a good thing, so to say, when a Tzadik dies. But it really requires all of us to up our game, so to say, to improve and to become better. Also, last night we were notified of the passing of Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, also a great leader, great rabbi for many years. His commentary on the Chumash is widely used by many, many people. He has very deep insights and outlooks on life for many people. He was a well-educated man, a big scholar, a big Talmid Chacham, a big leader of the Jewish people, a real role model for the Jewish people. So it's really just like a double hit, so to say, over just the last couple of days of who we lost in Klal Yisrael. And then obviously, you know, I don't mean to be so political, but I'll be a little political, that obviously many of us probably are not so happy with the way the election turned out, even though I have a friend of mine, a neighbor, he's a firm guy. He's dancing from the rooftops. He's thrilled to death that Biden won. He's so happy. I said, "You're probably the only firm person I know that's so happy." But in any case, he's very happy. And I said to him, I said, "You know, at the end of the day, the rest of us are not so happy. The rest of us really didn't want it to go this way." And the truth is, I'm reminded of Aloch and Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskin Simir Reish Lamed, that we have an obligation to say, Kol Ma David Rachmano L'Tavav, we have an obligation to say, this is what Hashem wanted. I was trying to explain this to my kids, but you know, I told them, you know, Trump didn't win, so what? That's what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted Biden to win, for whatever reason. I don't know why. Somehow this is what Hashem thinks is the best thing for us. Do we understand why? No. It's not our job to understand why. Our job is to do whatever Hashem says. Hashem says this is the way it goes, this is the way it goes. We're not here to ask, we're not here to judge, we're not here to putting aside all the lawsuits that they're going to ultimately lose in court. That's not our business. But it is what it is. This is the realization. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to win for whatever reason. But this fellow made an interesting observation, this pro-Biden voter. He told me the following. He said, putting aside everything, there's maybe one Musa Haska you can learn from Biden, which is connect to Ramban in last week's parsha. He didn't make the connection. This is my connection. The Ramban says in last week's parsha that Sarah Imenu laughed when the female Lachim told her that she's going to have a child. Correct the Ramban, why did she laugh? So the Ramban says that when a person has complete despair, completely give up, any little bit of good news, they're not going to listen. If a person is still believing, he's still in the game. So even if it's the slightest, far-fetched good news, they'll be so happy to hear it. A person's looking for a certain Yeshua, and it's distant, Yeshua's not looking good. But if someone gives them a bracha, they'll say amen, they'll appreciate it. If there's an angle that they can get the result, they'll follow it. But if Sarah Imenu heard the Malachim, she didn't say amen, thank you so much. She just said, oh, come on, who are you guys fooling? Says her man, that was a statement that she gave up. Says her man, we as Yidden never give up. Yiyush is not something in our vernacular. We as Jews don't give up. Because if we would have given up as Jews, we'd be long gone a long time ago. They put us down so many times, and we still come up. We still rise up. For those of you who listen to Rabbi Weiss's Chumash, he spoke about this at length. The key to our success is Anochi Ofa Ve'efer. Beautiful idea, how he explained how we always rise up from the ash, from the dirt. We continue, we grow, we get stronger, we get better, I would add as well. But nonetheless, the Ramban says, if a person gives up hope, that means, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, a person gives up hope on a certain Yeshua, you give him a bracha, they're like, oh, forget it, don't even bother. But here says the Ramban, she shouldn't have given up hope. Cling to hope. We as a people cling to hope. That's all we have, is hope. Yeshua, we hope, we daven, we pray. And the Ramban says, there's a tain on her. And the truth is, we learned in Parshas Veschanan, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to stop davening, and with the Mepharshim point out that you keep davening until Hashem tells you to stop davening. The only reason why Moshe stopped wasn't because he gave up. Chas v'shalom. The only reason why Moshe gave up ever trying to get to Eretz Yisrael is because Hashem said, Moshe, adkan no more. If Hashem comes and tells you stop davening, then you can stop davening also. But I don't think he's going to come and tell you that. So we got to keep going. That's the lesson of the Ramban. So this fellow tied it to me, the lesson is from Joe Biden. The guy tried so many times to become president. The guy's no youngster. He's not of the best health. He should have thrown in the towel already. Why do you keep on going? So he said, so Musa Haskell, don't give up. If you want something bad enough, keep trying for it. Okay, it's not a bad message, I guess. I'm not saying, you know, the best message, but it's a message. You know, if a person really wants something bad enough, he really thinks he deserves it or he has rights to something, he should keep giving. Come, keep going, keep trying, don't give up. It's definitely true in learning, it's definitely true in spirituality, it's definitely deal in business. How many people try for a business deal and it falls through? They keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. You don't give up. So maybe that's a positive lesson maybe we can take from the whole election, even if things didn't go the way we wanted it. But Lamaisa, maybe that's the Musa Haskell. Maybe don't give up. He's, you know, he's no youngster. He's not, his health is not great, but he's persevering. Do I think he's actually going to be the president? No, because I think in a few months Harris is going to take over. That's a shmooze for a different time. But nonetheless, he's at least on the ticket. They put his name on the ticket, and he did whatever he had to do to become president. I don't know. We'll leave the political side on the side for now. In any case, it's a lot. We're dealing with a lot. I think as a nation, as a people, as Klal Yisrael, we're dealing with a lot. You know, many people are talking about our obligation to vote, and should you vote, and did vote. I had a Talmud call me up the other day. He wanted to know. He really doesn't want to vote for Trump. He doesn't like him for whatever reason. So he wants to vote Biden. But someone told him he's not allowed to. It's awesome. So I refer you to the article that I'm sure many of you saw from Rebbe from Goldberg. He wrote a fantastic article. You can Google it. About, you know, rabbis telling people how to vote. Okay, he has a whole shtickle tale there. So I told the fellow, I said, I believe like this. I said, you live in New York. New York is going Democratic no matter what you do. I said, but Lo Yitzur, you lived in Pennsylvania? Lo Yitzur. Or Florida? Maybe Georgia? It's Gansi Tochen, and I would tell you, you should do it. He said, why? I said, loy me, boy, for what I think he could do for Eretz Yisrael, but I think what he could do for America. Putting aside Eretz Yisrael for a second. But I said, Lamaisa, you live in New York, you don't have to vote. Knock yourself out, do whatever you want, because it's New York, it's going Democratic anyways. But it's a question. It's a big discussion now. Do you have to vote? Don't you have to vote? What's our obligations? What's our moral responsibility? But I'm assuming most of us here did what we had to do and voted hopefully only once. Some people voted a couple times. I don't know. Hopefully, you know, all those that are alive voted, not those that have already passed. But in any case, it is what it is. It's the end of the discussion. And the things did not go the way we wanted. I'm not going to lie. I think most of Klal Yisrael, most of Am Yisrael, most of Americans, I think, maybe, wanted it to go the other way. It didn't go that way. So what do we do now? What do we do now? We're gonna riot? We're not gonna go rioting. We don't know how to riot. We're not good enough. There's so many lines that I've seen that people have sent me.
Except when it comes to mass, we know how to
do it. Huh?
Except when it comes to mass, we know
how
to
do it. Right. You know, it's just, there's so many different things that people have sent me, different zugs and lines and comments. There's so much there. We can have a whole, you know, running commentary on it. But the point is, Lamaisa, this is what Hashem wanted. For whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know why this is what Hashem wanted. Who knows? You know, I told the guy. He said, look what happened. Biden persevered. I said, okay, a little secret. There's another guy in history that also tried and lost and finally got it. His name was Adolf Hitler. He said, oh, you can't make that comparison. I said, I wasn't making that comparison. I was just pointing out that he also ended up in jail the first time around. No one liked him. And then 5 years later, all of a sudden, he was a very likable candidate. Just like bus Iraq lawyer. But the point is, you know, many people are asking this question, should I move to Eretz Yisrael? Should I sell my house? I honestly don't see any reason that this should make someone make Aliyah.
Everybody should be doing
if you want to make Aliyah because you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, that had nothing to do with who won the election.
Right.
If you believe that that's where you belong, you should have gone there way before this election. I don't see at this time right now, Ba'asher Husham, which is a quote from last week's parasha, I don't see any reason that everyone should go sell their houses, even though I have a sister-in-law who deals with real estate in Eretz Yisrael, and it'd be great for her business, but I don't see it. You know, people are saying, should I? If someone asked me this, I said, I don't see why. I definitely don't think you should go if you're going to ruin the economy there. That's exactly what Eretz Yisrael needs. Now, 30,000 people that can't make panos in Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what Eretz Yisrael needs right now. But who are you going to help? So if you're going to bring your job, that's one thing. You know, you're going to be like Ben Shapiro. You're going to move. You're going to move your entire business. You're going to go to a different state. And you'll help the economy. One thing. You're going to come to the country and be a drag on society. The Eretz Yisrael doesn't need any more of those. Baruch Hashem. They don't need you to be a drag on their society. If you feel that you're in danger, that's a separate question. I don't see, besides the fact that he's going to crack down on COVID, as my kid said, we're going to have to wear two masks now instead of just one. I said, hopefully we don't have lockdowns. I don't know what's going to be with him. But in any case, I'm not that nervous about Shehu Shem. But it's something that people should think about. A person wants to make Aliyah, wants to live in Eretz Yisrael. Matovim Aleim. I think it's a beautiful thing. We had a share about this a few years ago, the mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. I don't think this is the deciding factor, in my opinion, why a person should make Aliyah or not decide to make Aliyah. But in any case, I wanted to talk about the parasha, but the hour is getting late. But just two horrors on the parasha, and we'll move on to our sugya today. It's interesting. We talk about Avraham Avinu being a Baal Chesed. We know Avraham Avinu was an unbelievable Baal Chesed. He was a big Makariv. He took everyone into his house. Yet he threw out his own family. It's an amazing thing. He was such a Makariv, he took everyone in. He took these vagabond three homeless guys in, took them into the house, served them like their royalty. But his nephew, in last week's parasha, he says, I'm sorry, we can't live together, you gotta go. His own son, Shmuel, can't be here. What's going on over here? You're such a Baal Chesed, you're so loving, you're so compassionate, you take everyone into your house, except for family. Family, the ones you throw out. So Reb Rudiman asks this kasha, and he says an interesting idea. Reb Rudiman explains that the problem with Loit wasn't that he wasn't frum. The problem with Loit was that he was just so fatayved with mammon. He was such a Baal mammonist. He loved money. Loit loved money, which is why he moved to Sodom. He was just a fatayvedik Baal mammon. So Avraham Avinu was willing to help those who want to find God. But a guy who has bad personal traits, Avraham Avinu wasn't looking to change them. Now you got to work on your own. A guy didn't find God, and I'll show you that God exists in the world. I'm all there. But if a person has bad traits, deep down bad traits, you can't be around them. They're not healthy. And I think it's meduik like this. Because Rashi in Asik's parasha says that there was a machloikis between the Roya Loit and the Roya Avram. And Rashi says that the Roya Loit were Rishoyim. Why are they such Rishoyim? They had a machloikis in Choshe Mishpat. They claim that they Yarshin, and they claim they don't Yarshin. Why are you a Russia? Every single time two people have a discussion, the other one's a Russia? Like the Gemara asks in Makkas, Vahoya and Ben Hakas a Russia? Every single time someone comes a Russia? So I always thought the answer is Pashat. You're entitled to your opinion until you ask the rabbi. If you ask the Rosh Hashiva, you ask the Gadol, you ask the Pesach, and he says you're wrong, and you still think you're right, then you talk a Russia. Then the game's over. Then there's no hope for such people. If a guy that after the Shiloh is presented to whoever the Pesach is going to be, whoever the Das Torah is going to be, whoever the Gadol is going to be, and you say, yeah, but I'm still right. Those people you can't have around your house. Those people are dangerous. Because those people have no chance to grow. If a guy thinks I'm always right, even the Rav tells me I'm wrong, then it's, again, arguments and machloikis is very healthy in Klal Yisrael. But everyone has to know their point. You say to yourself, I took the shayla to someone bigger than me, and he said I'm wrong, so then I'm wrong. Not the shayla, I'm still right. You're not right anymore. This is not what Hashem wants of you. I think that was the problem with Loit. The problem with Loit wasn't so much his tavis amon, but he couldn't see what's right. Now, Rav said to himself, I can't have you around my house. You're toxic, you're poisonous. To think that you're always right, even after you ask the shayla, and you ask the gadol, and you ask the Avraham Avinu, the gadol ador, and you still think you're right. Yeah, it's not a healthy situation. But I just want to mention, there's a famous, I found it this year, and I thought it was, it's not so famous, I thought it was fantastic. Ben Avraham ben Arambam. He says, what was Sarah so upset about Yishmael? So we learn Rashi says he did the three cardinal sins. I understand, if you had a child in your house, the three cardinal sins, you want to throw them out also. Says there about Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, that wasn't his problem. You know what Sarah couldn't stand about Yishmael? He wasted time. Amazing. He wasted time. He sat on his iPhone, right? He went on his phone the whole day. He wasn't active. He wasn't productive. He woke up late. He didn't do much with his life. Says Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, he wasted time. Wasting time is a terrible, terrible machl. It's a sickness. Avraham Avinu Sarah said, I can't have this guy next to my Yitzchak needs to be productive. This is a machla that we all suffer, and I gave the shmuz to my Talmidim in Yeshiva. I said, I want you guys to know I'm more guilty than probably some of you guys are. We all waste time. With the invention of technology, we all waste time. How many times do we check the same thing 82 times? The weather, Shiva World News, this, that, the other, other outlets, Fox News, this. We get busy with a lot of things that we don't really need to be busy with. And we just waste time. Next thing you know, it's 11 o'clock at night. You didn't stop preparing for this year. And not that happened last night, but sometimes it happens, right? Especially in a very lebedic political world that we're living in right now. But we just wasted time. We didn't have to really do anything. Yishmael lacked that ability to be able to be productive. First, it's not productive, then he's hopeless. Avraham Avinu said, you can't be here. You're not a help to society. Sadly, we have a lot of people in our society that are not productive. They sit in their house, in their parents' house, in their parents' basement. They blog and they tweet and they do nothing really helps society. And then they ride when they're bored. Right? They don't really help society. Wasting time is not a help to society. When a person is active, he does. He does chesed, learns Torah, goes to work, helps his family. That's productive. That's all fine. People are not productive. Says Sarah, I can't have Yishmael around my son. My son is bent on being productive. Rabbi Chana Wasserman went to visit Varsha. He went to Warsaw from the town of Baranovich for a visit. And they asked him, what were you so blown, what were you most amazed by the big city of Warsaw? Warsaw was a big city. He said, I was most amazed by the Ger Rebbe. Why? Because the Ger Rebbe had 5 minute chavusha shafs. 5 minute chavusha shafs. He says, how many of us think to make a 5 minute chavusha shaf? Who makes a 5 minute chavusha shaf? Yeah, 5 minutes. By the time you sit down, and by the time you guys finish losing, 5 minutes are up. So Rabbi Chana said, I got such a chizuk from the Ger Rebbe's 5 minutes with a chavusha shaf. That means 5 minutes matters. You know, we all have these few minutes in our life that we can get so much done. You know, if we, you know, instead of looking at our emails, we could look at a, you know, pull out a Mishnayis, or today you can pull out on your phone, you can get Mar Mekomis, you can get things like that. You know, it's just a matter of minutes. It's not a question of defining time is really defined by not how much time we have, but how we use the time we are allotted. It's a very important lesson. Again, as I told my Talmidim, and I'm telling you, I'm talking to myself probably more than anyone else in this room. You know, guilty of wasting time right here, raising my hand, you know, no question. But it's something that it's worthwhile on the chizik department. And we'll just end off with one last vort on the parasha, which is also a historical point of information that needs to be spoken out. There was a famous gathering in 1910 amongst the Rabbonim of Eastern Europe to discuss the Russian government. Again, Eastern Europe was most of Lithuania, Poland, all those Litvisha communities and the Chassidish communities. And they had an asifa to how to deal with the constant oppression from the Russian government about the Talmud Torah, about Judaism, about the rabbis, a whole lot of things. Big meeting was basically led by the Meshech Chacham of Rameh Simcha from Divinsk. The Chavetz Chaim was not invited to this party. He was not invited to this asifa. And the Chavetz Chaim came anyways. He heard about it and he kind of snuck his way in. And when he gets there, Rameh Simcha basically says to him, with all due respect, you're not really invited. This is for big rabbis who understand what the rabbi. Part of the discussion was, how do we deal with the issue of the Russian government putting up fake rabbis that are rabbis based on Russian training, but not rabbis based on Torah training? How do we deal with them? So the Meir Simcha thought the best way to deal with it is to have the rabbis go to college. Let the Litvish Gedalish Rabbonim go to some form of a college. They can sign up that they're now rabbis. And everyone else was very against the Meir Simcha. They thought that was wrong. Chavetz Chaim was also against it. So the Meir Simcha said, you don't understand the difficulties of being in a big rav. You're in a small little city, Radin. It's a teeny little shtetl. We have bigger fish to fry over here. But he asked him, he said, you know, with all due respect, you weren't really invited over here. Like, what brings you here? Oh, he says, I'm here because I have a sick sister. So Meir Simcha says, what's wrong with your sister? Oh, he asks all these questions. What hospital is she in? He says, no, my achoisi, he is the Torah. It's not my real sister. It's the Torah. So Meir Simcha said, who calls their sister achoisi, the Torah achoisi? He said, I learned it from this week's parasha. I saw that Rav Avinu called Sarah achoisi. He said, I see you can play around with the definition of the word achoisi. It's a, you know, liberal translation of what the word achoisi means. That's the end of the story. They ended on good terms. They gave each other bracha v'atzlocha, and they all went home. This is the true story. Here's where the false part starts. If you look at Mishnah Berurah, there's very few places where he quotes any contemporary Acharonim. The one famous place where he quotes a contemporary is in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. There's a Beralach in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah where he quotes from the Meshech Chachma. And the Meshech Chachma said, when you blow the shofar, you're supposed to put it on the right side of your mouth. So everyone says, why did the Chavetz Chaim do that? Because he didn't want anyone to think there's bad blood between him and Rav Meir Simcha because of this little meeting. So he put the Meshech Chachma in the sefer to make everyone show me and the Meshech Chachma on good terms. Beautiful story. Why is it not true? Because the asifa took place in 1910. When did the Mishnah Berurah come out? Yotes Mar Cheshvan, 1906 or 1907. So unless the Mishnah Berurah had unbelievable nevuah, it's a not true story. So this is one of those famous not true stories that everyone throws around. It's absolutely not true because the years don't allow it for it. Nonetheless, there is one other place where the Mishnah Berurah quotes a contemporary. It's a Be'aloch. It's in Hilchos Shabbos. He quotes his son, who died from an infection. His son was a big Talmud Chacham. He quotes his son. But other than that, he does not quote contemporaries. That's just not the style of the Mishnah Berurah. But this story with the Meshech Chachma is a beautiful ma'isa, but like many, many stories of the Chafetz Chaim, Lehoya v'loy nivra, it never took place, it never happened. Okay, now that we clarified that bit of information, let's get into today's shiur. Okay. We're holding over here. Today we want to talk about the Nesina. Not the giving, but the group called the Nesinim. In Jewish history, if you look in Sefer Yoshua, the Navi tells a story about a group of Jews, a group of non-Jews who came right after Yeshua went into Eretz Yisrael, and they made up a Baba Maisa. They said that we're really not from the Zainamim, we're from a different group, we're not the Zainamim, because Zainamim have to be killed, destroyed. We're from a different group, and we want to be Megayer. And Yeshua bought it, he took the bait, he said, no problem, great, here you guys are. He Megayer them, and they joined Klal Yisrael. Later on, it was Nisbara that these guys were a bunch of liars. They were part of the Zayin Am. So Yeshua was presented with a dilemma. What do I do with these guys now? They kind of tricked. They cheated their way into Judaism. What do I do now? So Yeshua said, no, let's just leave them. You know, we'll leave them as they are, and they'll stay whatever status they're going to have. So we have our opening Mishnah over here in Ksubis, number one. Zakti Mishnah. Eilu nairu sheishlam knas. These are the girls that have knas. Habo ala mamzeres. The man lives with a mamzeres. Ve'al hanesina. And he lives with a girl from this Nesina Yichus. Now, I have no idea how you know that today with the girls from the Nesina, but you know, I guess somehow she knows. She's from the Gevoinim tribe, family. She trades it back, so she gets Knas. So Rashi points out, what's the Chiddush over here? Why is that a Chiddush? Like Rashi number two. Min ha-Gevoinim. She's from the Gevoinim. V'yasuro le-Kahal. She's technically not allowed to marry the Klal Yisrael. Why? The David Gazer Aleim. David made a Gzeira on this group of people. Now, I just told you it came from Yeshua. So what does David have to do? We'll see in a second. Kidamino be Yivamis, Yimor says Yivamis, Val Shem, the Yitim, Yeshua, Choit, the Eitzim, the Shevi Mai. Why are they called Nesinim? If they're Givoinim? The answer is because David gave them to be, Yeshua gave them a job. Their job and their addition to society was to be the wood choppers and the water schleppers. That was their rights to be part of Klai, so they get to become the glorified schleppers of the water and the schleppers of the Eitzim. Okay. So Rashi is not so clear to us. What type of status do these people have? They're also lovei b'kahal. Under what banner? Meaning, what issur do they have? David made Xero. Now, if David made it, does it become deraisa? Clearly not. David doesn't have the power to make something deraisa. So Rashi Shita seems to be very clear that the issur to a Nesina would only be an issur derabon. The whole issur to live with this girl or to stay married to this girl would be only rabbinic. It came from David HaMelech. Now, what did David HaMelech do in Lumdus to make these people usur? It's not clear. All Rashi says is that David asur l'kahal. He said they can't marry into Klal Yisrael. Okay, there's a lot of people who can't marry into Klal Yisrael, and they don't all have the same rules. We'll have to see how that's going to work out. We're going to talk about that's the Mamish today. We're going to talk about today. What happens if they're Megayer? We're going to talk about the Mamish today. We'll see. That's a big issue about this topic. So let's see. So we have a Mishnah Yevamos number three. The Mishnah says Yevamos Mamzerin v'Nesinim Asurim. A mamzer and a nesin are not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. They isuran isur oilam. And they are also forever. They're not like mitzvi that after three generations, because these people are stuck forever. Echad zcharim ve'echad nekemis. So both a mamzer, we all know that a mamzer is not allowed to love b'kahal. We know a nesin is also love b'kahal. These are people that are not allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. Now, we don't know why. Right, we know David, Rashi said David was gezer and then they can't marry. Under what banner? So the Gemara in Yevamos explains. The Gemara says, the David gazer aleihem. The Gemara says, David made a gzeira. In fact, the Gemara, Moshe gazer aleihem. David made a gzeira. This is old news. Moshe Rabbeinu already talked about these people. We had these people in the Chumash. There was already this group existed in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the status of wood choppers and water schleppers. So the Gemara says, Moshe gazer lahu doiro. Moshe made a gzeira only for that generation. David gazer lekulei dori. And then David decided to asur forever. So Eina Chanami, this group existed even in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu with the same shtick. They wanted to drink Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm sorry, you guys are going to have to be limited. But that was short-lived. David said, you guys are stuck forever. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Vakat Yeshua gazer alai, but we still have a middle in between. There's Moshe, David, and Yeshua in between. Because it says in the Pasuk, Vayitnim Yeshua b'yemuhu chayt yit mishavim mayim. Mayil edol mizbach. Mizbech Hashem. So the Gemara says, Yeshua gazer bizman she bizman shekayim, David gazer bizman she bizman shekayim. The Gemara says, you're right, Yeshua was only while there was a Beis HaMikdash. Yeshua's ban on the Gevoinim or the Nesinim was only called on the Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, for some reason, once there's no Beis HaMikdash, they're free to go. Zok the Gemara, but David said forever and ever, you guys are awesome. Now, I didn't put down why. Why does David have such a attitude to Gevoinim. So if you look in the Gemara in Yevamis, and the Rambam brings the Halacha and Hilchos HaSarebiyah, it's because the Gemara has a story later on with when Shaul didn't treat the Gevoinim properly. And he got in trouble for it. It was a whole issue. And the Gevoinim's way of dealing with it was, give us seven of your guys and we'll just torture them to death. So David said, this is the way you deal with things. That's your attitude. Give us seven people and we'll just torture them as a payback. So David said, you clearly are not Rachmonim, Baishonim, Gremlin, Chasodim. You're lacking the traits of what does it mean to be Kala Yisrael. Therefore, lo yova b'kala Hashem. That's what the Gemara said. Yevamos, that's what the Rambam passes. The reason why David was gazer on them is because of their lack of compassion. The lack of Rachmonis was a dead giveaway that you're not really genuinely Jewish. And David said, you can't come b'kala Hashem. That's what it seems like from this Gemara. Yeah, I guess there was it was the pasuk said. Right, but they also had by Moshe Rabbeinu, the same phrases. It doesn't say who they were. Right, it doesn't say exactly. Chazal must have known that it was the same story, same group, same family. Strange. Okay, but look at Rashi says over number 5. Look at Rashi. David gazer aleim kloimar einam ruim lovei bikahal. They're not roi to come bikahal. But he never tells you why. What title do they have? So I told you the Gemara said, "Well, they're not kind and compassionate." Okay, that's what psul is that? Is that a ride that their gerus was no good? It's not clear from Rashi.
If the gerus was good, they wouldn't get
knas. That's right, exactly. Meaning, if their gerus was no good, and they're goyish. If they're not Jewish, then there's no knas for a goya. So they're clearly Jewish. The question is, so what status do they have? They have this very funny halachic status. Now the bigger problem is if we stopped right here in this Gemara. And we ignore the Gemara and Yevamah, so life would be somewhat simple. We'd have this group called the Gevoinim, which David was gazer on them because they weren't compassionate enough. And the chiddush is that they still have knas because they're still mutter some level to come into Klal Yisrael. But there's another problem. There's a Gemara and Yevamah that find vav.
How are they mutter to come in?
Well, the simple answer might be midaraisa the mutter to come to Klal Yisrael. The other answer might be that even if you're lechatchila not supposed to marry them, but maybe kedushin is still teifus. And even though you're preferably not supposed to go over to her and give her kedushin, but could be if you did it, she's still considered married, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. So there's a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos says like this. The Gemara wants to know about a Ptsua Daka, a fellow who has a crushed testicles, Ptsua Daka. Is he mutter to marry a Nesina? Is he allowed to marry a Nesina? A Nesina girl, she's the Gavainisha family, can a Ptsua Daka marry her? So the Gemara says, well, if you think it's because of his kedusha or lack of kedusha, meaning a ptsua daka, although he's as Jewish as anyone else, but because he has his crushed testicles, it takes away from his kedusha sisral. So then it should be considered that you're in a violation of loisis chatimbom. If you hold that this girl is in, the Gemara says, this nesina should be in a violation of loisis chatimbom.
Well,
the loisis chatimbom is deraisa. That's an issue deraisa. That loisis chatimbom is pashtos, referring to the Shiva Umin, the seven nations. You're not allowed to marry them. So Omar Rava says, "Otu hasa mishim kedusha, v'lav kedusha." Over there, it's not about kedusha. It's dilma moyli ben. Over there, we're afraid that maybe they'll have a baby from this relationship. Also, plachav by yizkachovim, and he'll go and have a baby, and they'll go have a baby that's worshipped by the zara. V'hani mili biyoyisav yizkachovim. That's only when they're still goyish. But kimigairei, when they actually go through a gerus process. Be Yisrael Shari, then they would be mutter to marry. The Rabbanon who the Gazu, the Rabbanon made exer that you can't. Vichi Gazu buhu Rabbanon, maybe when did the Rabbanon make exer you can't marry them post Gavis? But Hanach the Bnei of Ludi, those people that can actually have children. Avol, hi, the Lab Bari Lude, but since this guy's a Ptsua Daka, he's not able to have children. So why would the Rabbanon not, again, the Rabbanon were afraid if I allow to marry this girl, maybe the offspring will go to Avay Dazar. There's no offspring over here. This guy's not having children. So if they went through the Geirus process, the Gemara is saying, there should be no Isra of Loisis Chatimbom, even though they're from the Shivas Umim. Even though they are from that group that you're not allowed to marry, but it sounds like you're not allowed to marry them while they're still in their status. But if they switch over and do Geirus, then they could marry them, at least mid-derais. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, can't be. Elamiyat, the Mamzer, the Bar Elude, whatever it's a Mamzer. Mamzer could have children. Hachinami, the Aser. So you're going to tell him he's also going to be Aser? Vatanam, we learned in the Mishnah, Mamzein and Nesin, Mutarim Lov Zabazeh. A Mamzein and Nesin could get married to each other. So Elazar Gemara, Ki Gazer, Rabbanim, and Bechshem, Bepsum, like Gazer. Hoder Omar Rav, this is what we need, Rabbi Yisrael. Zar Gemara, Rav changes tune. Lav Milsi, it's not true. Be Yoysen, Ovde Kechavim, when these groups are not Jewish, Les Luchasnos. You can't marry them even if you wanted to. So there's no Issa of Loises Chatin when they're not Jewish. Nizgairu, when does the Isser come in? When they're Megayer. Nizgairu islu chasnas. Which means Rav is mechadish at the end of the Gemara that when are you not allowed to marry the Zayin Amim? Not while they're still Gentile. Because you can't marry them. It's not shaykh to marry them. The Torah didn't have to write, don't marry them. It's impossible. It doesn't go. There's no tefis exclusion to a good. What was the chiddush of Lois's Chatim Bamzakti Gemara? When even though they're near Mizgayer, now they're Jewish, they went through the Geir's process, Aval Pekin, I still can't marry them. Now, why is this important for us? Because the Gemara keeps on saying that the Gevoinim are considered what? Lois's Chatim. Even after the Megayer. Still, you're not allowed to marry them because of Lois's Chatim. So, what is even this Gemara Yavamis? The reason why you're not allowed to marry Gevoini or Nesina is because of Lois's Chatim. Not because David HaMelech did anything. We keep on saying David HaMelech did it. What do you mean David? The Gemara says beforeish. Rabbi says Lois Ischatin applies to the Zayin Amimim, assuming that they're part of the Zayin Amim, even after they're Megayer. So the reason why I can't marry in the Sina is because the Torah says Lois Ischatin Bom. So what's pshat in the two Gemaras in Yevamos? We have a steer in Gemara. We have one Gemara in Yevamos that gives off the impression that the issur to marry Givoni was David HaMelech's involvement. David made exer. We have this Gemara in Yevamos where the Gemara seems to be black and white. That the reason why you're not allowed to marry Givoni is because there's a lav called Loises Chatimba. You're not allowed to marry them. Shiloh Rava was dealing with is when does this lav start? Well, is this while they're still not Jewish, or this is only after they become Jewish? So Rava thought it was only while they're not Jewish. That makes a lot of sense. After they become Jewish, they're Jewish. Why can't I marry them? Zakt Rava, no. It's only after they become Jewish. Because before they become Jewish, of course you can't marry them. There's no Tzvisas Kedushin. I don't need the Torah to tell me that. So what's the Chiddush of Loises Chatimba? Don't marry these people. It's after they become Jewish. So. I wouldn't say Avalei Mahane. I think Rava's point was that it's posh that there's no Shaykh Chasnus to these people. So that can't be what the Torah is saying. Now, your argument is maybe what the Torah is saying is for try to attempt to make a Chasnus. Okay, Rabbi Chonin has a similar kasha about that maybe the whole Isser is attempting, not the actual outcome. That's part of what Rava's grappling with. Rava's grappling with is Yisoyd Isser accomplished? What? Yeah. That's where Rabbi Chonin starts to talk a little bit about how far would we take this Rava to other areas as well. Would we borrow Rav and say, oh, everywhere the Torah says an Isser Chasnus, it has to also be like that. I didn't want to get involved in that, but yeah, Rabbi Chonin Kavitshurim on our page makes that observation as well. But this is the Shach of Atari of Rav. So now, why is this so important to us? Because it comes out, according to Rav, why can't I marry a Nesina? Because of the Lav and the Torah of Lois Chatimbom. That's an Isser Daraisa. So now we have a steer in two Gemaras. The first Gemara in Yevamos made it sound like the David Asr Nesina. This Gemara makes it sound like the who Asr the Nesina? The Torah Asr the Nesina. So how do we make these two Gemaras work? That's the problem that we have today. How do we make these two Gemaras work? So if you look in the Rishonim, they all have options of how to make the two Gemaras work. The simple answer, which is actually brought down in Rishonim, is Machlokes HaGemaras. No. You can't make everyone happy, you try your best, and you move on. That's always like the least geshmak teretz that you can give. And if that's the way you're going to learn through Kol HaTorah Kula, it's not going to be so geshmak. Every steer in Rambam is, okay, it's a steer, you know, it's a steer in Tosis, it's a steer in Tosis. We got to come up with more creative answers to the kasha. So let's take a look over here in the Rishonim. I don't have control over my screen. Adina, can you pull up the screen a little bit? Thank you. I don't know if she's still there. Ah, thank you. So if you look over here on the top page, the Ritva number 7. Dr. Ritva, how do we resolve the contradiction? The contradiction is, why are Nesinim Asr? Are they Asr because David, or are they Asr because of Lois's Chatim? Dr. Ritva. The kacha noch. Yeah. Pashtus. The Pashtus is there from the Zayin Amim, and I'm kind of not being 100% honest, but there is a machloikis whether or not Lois Ischatin is going on all nations or only the Zayin Amim. I try just to not get involved in that, but there is Taka Machloikis HaTanoim about that. We'll just assume that at least the Zayin Amim is included in Lois Ischatin. Oh, that's the problem. If you hold, like, meaning the Rishayim speak out, you can't hold both Gemaras. If you're going to hold like Rava's Maskana, you're going to have to hold that Lois Ischatin is only for the Zayin Amim. If you hold that Rav is true even after they get Megayer, so who's allowed to become Jewish then? So you're going to have to say, if you hold like Rav is Maskana, you're going to have to hold that it's only the Zayin Amim. Everyone, that was a quick point over here. It's a good point. I didn't want to get into it because I'm already confused, but it's just a Vichtige Nekuda. If you hold that Lois Ischatin includes all the nations, so how do you ever have Geiris? The answer is then, those who hold that Lois Ischatin is post-Geiris will have to hold Lois Ischatin is only the Zayin Amim, which the Nesinim are part of the Zayin Amim. But if you hold like Rav is having, you know, that Lois Ischatin is only before Geiris, so then after Geiris, everyone is Mutter, so then the Pasuk is only the Zayin Amim. Okay, good. That's another issue we have to get to. Lois Ischatin sounds like you can't make a wedding. Let's say I don't want to make a wedding, I want to just live with her, which is really our sugya today, right? Our sugya is not about marriage, our sugya is about just living. So that's something we're going to get to Mamish in 2 seconds. So let's see the Ritva for a second, number 7. So again, the Ritva is trying to resolve the stira and two gemaras in Yevamos. Now, the reason why I'm going through all this is really to help us understand Tosfos. I'm giving you this akdama because after this, we'll have a little bit of an easier time understanding Tosfos. Hopefully. I hope. So the Ritva again. So Ritva is bothered with the kasha that we just pointed out. It seems to be a stira and two gemaras. Is David the one who asked the Gevoinim, the Nesinim, or was it the Torah with Loisus Chati? So up to Ritva. He says, depends on the generation. The first wave, the first generation of Nesinim was Taka Asu Loisus Chatim. The Chiksiv Krabi Shiva Amimim Ksiv, and Nesinim is Shiva's Amim. Because it says about the Shiva's Amim and the Nesinim are from the Shiva's Amim. Omiyu Doiroi Sam Mutter. But the subsequent generations would have technically been Mutter. Why? The Halak Sivbuhu Doiroi. It doesn't say that they're also for future generations. And that second generation was when all the gezeiros started. Then, Moshe Gazra Aleim Shibut Kadesh Yisra'akim Mehem. Alva B'dayr Rasam Lai Gazra Kulam. Again, Moshe, everyone did just for their generation. So the first wave, the first generation of Givoinim, whenever they came, they were also Asloy Seschatim.
But that's not the Maisha because they were still in the Midbar.
Okay, again, I don't exactly know when the first generation Taka came. I'm not sure. Yeah. Taka saw Achmarim talk about what's the constitutes of the first generation. But what's Negei does, by the time we get to the Mishnah, they're no longer under Loisus Chatin. Therefore, Zok the Ritva, he says, but Avada, there was a time when they were also under Loisus Chatin, but that's not subsequent generations later. So now you can talk a little on this. So maybe what David did, what did David do now? He made things like the first generation. He put them back under the Isra of Lois Eschatim. Could be. Maybe. We'll talk about it.
Why can't you say that the Dindor Isa is only after Gairus? David Kane made it. Is there a button even before Gairus?
Made what? Is
there a button?
What category of Isra did he give them? That's what I'm trying to get. Okay, that's one possibility. He sometimes just said Lois Eschatim. I want to say that maybe he said that we're going to treat them like we're going to treat the Dor Rishon. I mean, it wasn't sometimes they double picked out of a hat to give them Lois Eschatim. Because we find that this group did have Lois Eschatin, only the Rishon. So they decided, let's give them this status forever. Possible.
Lois Eschatin is only a
Horah Shah? No. The Ritva says there's only one Dar, not the Darius. At least not this group.
It was originally
the Raisa because of Lois Eschatin, but that would only be the first generations of Givoyim. The subsequent generations would only be Moshe, Yeshua, and then ultimately Dov. That's how the Ritva answers. The question is, why did you need the Gzera Kain the Raisa? So if you had the Daraisa, who needs the Gzera?
Originally the Daraisa only for the first Dor.
Okay, so I'm saying. So now you're saying the Lomdus. You're saying the Lomdus was that when David made this Gzera, he basically said, I want to put back the Torah status of them that was only the first generation, I want to give them that status forever.
But what does the
Rabban
say?
No, it's going to be. My question was just, what Lomdus did David give to these people? Like he said, you're also to come Bakal. Under what banner? What Isser? What category? So you're saying Stamazay? And this is the Rabbanon. Okay. So we'll see. It might be there was a title or a banner or a category that David put them in based on the
sugya. What does it refer to with Moshe Gazra?
Yeah. Right over here. He writes it, right? Look what he says. He says over here, the likes of Budairus, Moshe Gazra Leim Shibud Kadesh Yisrachak Mehem. Moshe made a Shibud. Aval Budairus Sam Le Gazra Klum. But Moshe's Gzera did not continue. The Yeshua Gazra Leim Misser Vishibud Budairus Sam.
But that was the same generation. He's put the Oto Dabar.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, but he could have done it 30 years later. That could be defining.
I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know. I don't understand what these Rishonim mean when they say it was only the first Dor. When the first Dor started, who was the first Dor? It's not clear to me.
Well, why would it be relevant? I mean, the Torah does not tell us. There's stories that we know, but the whole thing was doctored in that Dor that they were usher, and that Dor came and went, and life goes on.
Why would the Torah tell us that?
Yeah, I guess in certain stories you do whatever it might be, but who cares?
Right. Yeah, that's strange. It's an interesting idea that there was a psul isser for one dar and never continued, and the subsequent generations were a suri derabon. Okay, that's
now, the. I'm showing you from the lashon. There's nothing in the lashon of the Torah that would indicate that.
So the ritvas is because it doesn't say l'dervis. Doesn't say l'dervis.
Oh, it does say l'dervis.
That's the ritvas raya.
It says
loisus chatimam. If I can, I would assume the lack of any specific definition is l'dervis.
I
would.
That whole sugya that was key yesterday has been from the Akharai. That's when we were in natural lineage descent as opposed to patrilineage.
Right.
So in other words, that's what the Torah is telling me. If you go in and marry a shiksa, I didn't understand that it was before after Gairus, the answer is that it follows the mother, not the father, even though you have a Jewish father.
Right.
And that's the whole makar of what the Torah is telling us. Not to say Doris not, yes, Doris not, not.
Oh, the question is, when the Torah said Lois is chati, you can't marry them, how long was that ban in place for?
No, but it says in that, sugya, it says, Losis Chazim Banim Kiyosir is Bidu Chamei Acharai.
Yeah.
And I thought, all the whole limit we always have, I have this a lot of times in the guys in my work, they say to me, I'm Jewish, my wife's a Shiksa, so I hear according to Orthodoxy, you know, my kids are not Jewish. I said, all of a sudden, Orthodoxy bothers you. But I'm saying, in other words, that was the mucker, I thought.
100%. That's still true. But this.
Saying, no, but we're trying to learn out of doctor for that time, and then that's the Gabriel's.
Yeah, again, the pashtus of the pasuk, you don't assume like that. I mean, you don't understand Rav Tzad, the Loisus Chatan is after Geirus. Yeah, okay. Maybe we'll talk about how the Rambam Taka pasuk is in the Shaila, when Loisus Chatan applies as it before. We always have it in mind, once someone becomes Jewish, that's it, they're free to go. But again, this is the Zayin Amim, it's a specific group of people, it's not all of the non-Jewish people. If you look over here in the Shurim for David Pivarsky, he addresses an interesting Lomdush question. He writes like this, okay, number 7b. He said, Let's say, like the Ritva held that there was a time where Loisus Chatimbom applied to the Givoinim, right? The first Da. So he says, Yesh l'stabik, him have his Epsul Kahol, Kishar Psul Kahol, the Mamzul Mitzri. What type of Isser did they have? Did they have an Isser Psul Kahol, you're not allowed to marry into the community, like you have by a Mamzer and a Mitzri? Or you have Iraq Isser Biya Ba'alma? Or you weren't allowed to live with them? What type of Isser Deraisa did the Givonim have? Were they like a group that's not allowed to come into Kalei Yisrael, you're not allowed to marry into them? Or was it just an Isser Bia? So he says, Yeshu Emet Dedavka, Hechad Echsev Lo Yoveh B'Kahal Hashem Havi B'Sol Kol. He said, well, it depends on the wording of the Torah. Sometimes the Torah says, Lo Yoveh B'Kahal Hashem. They can't come into the community of Hashem. Havi B'Sol Kol. Masha Hechad Doloi Husku Isser Kahal. It didn't say join the people, it just said, Lo Yisis Chatin. Rak Isser Chasnus. Yitochin the Havi Rak Isser Ba'alma V'Loi B'Sol. He wants to tell you it's not the begeder psul, meaning something wrong with you, something intrinsically, you know, dysfunctional about you that you can't join the Klal Yisrael. That's not the pshat. You have an isser, you're not allowed to. But there's no psul gavra or on the person. Now what's the nafkamina? Who cares? So he says, the nafkamina, im poisol isha bibi yasir. If you live with it, does the isha become possible with such a bia? The im hu psul kahal, if it's taka psul kahal, poisol isha. Taka renders the isha, who's Jewish, she becomes possible. Aval imhu rak isser greidav, if it's only an isser, ain't a poysel, it doesn't affect you. Then he writes like this.
A Jewish woman lives with a
nisin. With a nisin. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. He writes, v'omnam l'shitas ha-ramban v'harash b'hanal l'choyer muchach devade loy have psol rak isser ba'almu. Why? The kimen shen is gayer, right? Aval b'noy mutter. According to these rishonim, the first generation had isser chasnus, the second generation was good to go. David Pivarsky, 1 second. How could that be an Isser Lovei B'Kahal? If it's an Isser Lovei B'Kahal, how is it the next generation allowed to come? Mitzri is not like that. So, Frektiv David, if you're going to tell me that the Lomdus is the first generation and an Isser Lovei B'Kahal, so why is the second generation Mutter? Generally speaking, Lovei B'Kahal applies to future subsequent generations. But according to these Rishonim, the Isser of Loisis Chatim is just the first generation, the next generation they were Mutter. So, how could that be a Psul Kahal? It has to just be a certain Isser that was on this generation, not the second generation. So he writes, it's a pella. Avo b'noi mutter, akoch et olev epsul kohol. Di avi zepsul, harim im meila abanim, nami psulim. Again, what was Reb Dov Bavarsky's raya? His raya is, if it would be psul kohol, why is the next generation mutter? So what's a follow-up question? Mitzri techiach. Mitzri is mutter after 3 generations. Frek Reb Dov Bavarsky, v'avo gav the mesida ki agav the b'mitzri sheini, di b'noi mutter. Afilu hochi, hoi olav dim psul kohol. So you see from what? That you can have a psul kahal, and eventually it waters out. Enough generations, it becomes mutter. So this will be the second generation. This will be the third generation. What's the big difference? So he says, no. There the Torah stipulated that the Isser kahal is limited. Exactly, the Torah built it into the Isser. That's an example of a psul kahal that's limited. I will hachad echsib b'teres stoma loisis chatim bom. Teres says, don't marry them. Ain't lo mechalik b'neim livneihem. Why would I think there's a difference between first generation and second generation? If him came, him psulim, him eilu gam b'neim psulim. The kivin of b'neim ksherim, him came mestavar d'havi rak isa v'loi psul. So tain Reb Dov Pivarsky, that's my raya. My raya is according to these rishonim, that the next generation becomes mutter, even though the Torah doesn't explicitly say so. It must be that it's not a psul kahal. If it be a psul kahal, it would continue on to the next generations. I mitzvah doesn't, that's because the Torah built in a clause that says it doesn't. The implication is, well, if the Torah didn't build in that clause, it taka would go to Darius. So why is Loisus Chatan only the first door, not the second door? The answer is, it's not a psul kahal, it's a psul isser ba'alm. That's the ha'ara of the Reb Dov Pivarsky.
Isser means that it doesn't possibly be a woman.
That's right.
It just gets an
aver. Right, she's even aver. It doesn't change her halachic status.
Yeah. The fact that the Torah doesn't
doesn't say it goes on forever doesn't mean you can't prove that it goes on forever too, because by Mamzer, by Amar Moa, it does say Gamdara Sivi.
Right.
So it does say there, so if it doesn't say there, then it doesn't.
Right. I was thinking that going the other way, right? Bring a rye from the fact that the Torah, once the Torah was mechadish to me that you can have a psul kahal that's limited, maybe that's a gila of the other psul kahal.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I would learn from there that it's okay to have a psul kahal that comes, that ends.
Limited.
That's limited, right. That's, I would have learned it as like a gili mil so that it's shayach a psul kahal. He's saying no. Exactly, right. I mean, I would have used Mitzri as an example from the Torah that a psul kahal taka could end.
Right.
Not that he's saying it, every other psul kahal doesn't. I would have said, forget. Maybe this is a rai that all psul kahal could end.
Yeah, models both ways.
If
you don't know where
there you go. I guess that's the point. If you don't know which way to go, you pick which side you want to jump on. Okay. So let's start our Taisus now. Ksubas daf chavta. Zog Taisus. Eilu na'iris habol anesina pish bekunches. The David gozer alayim. He's quoting Rashi. Rashi says that David was gozer on them. Shleilovoi bekahal. That they're not allowed to join Klal Yisrael. Vayinu mishum avdus. And that's because of their slavery status. Kedaminon b'ha'arul. This is when Taisvis decides to ad lib for Rashi. Rashi never said those words. And Rebbe in 9th grade always told us, never trust when Taisvis quotes a Gemara, quotes a Rashi. Never trust him. Because he adds his own interpretation, his own ad lib of what he sees. Rashi never said that by us. Rashi never added those words of Vayinu mishum avdus. Maybe, it's possible. It's, again, it's not clear where he got those words from. And it changes the whole lumdus. It means that David treated the Gevoinim not just as second-class citizens, he gave them a halachic status. He gave them a status of Avadim. Now, if they're Avadim, so then they're not considered Jewish. They're an Eved Kanani. He didn't make them Eved Ivri, he made them Eved Kanani. So we'll see, hopefully later, maybe in the next week, we'll see Rabbi Chanan has his kasha. Like, what power can you do that? Make someone an Eved Kanani? How do you give someone an Eved Kanani status? How does that exactly work? With what rabbinic authority can you change someone into becoming an Eved Kanani? An Eved Kanani is a very specific title given to a non-Jew who sells himself as a Jew, who sells himself to a Jew. Right, he has this, meaning he has a status for halachic purposes that he can't marry into Klai, so just like an Eved Kanani. But how exactly do you make him into Eved Kanani if Yitaka was really Jewish? He went through Geirus. Right, we're going now, he went through Geirus, then to see him. But David said, Alpha Pekin, we don't like it because you're not compassionate enough. So I'm going to make you like a guy.
Wait, not like a guy.
I don't make like an Eved.
Because then he has status of a woman.
Right. The problem is if he's going to be like a guy, he's not going to have knas. So we'll have to see. We'll talk more about it. Blineder.
He said that's Eliezer, right? He says, you want to have your daughter for my son, but you're from an Eved.
Right. Yeah, but the question is over here, we're going to use this for halachic purposes. We're going to change this guy's status and say that even though he's talking Jewish, he went through Geirus, his family went through Geirus, he's in this guy here, Avapikin, he can't marry into Klal Yisrael. We'll have to see how. Okay. Now, here's where Taisus gets interesting over here. The Ein Nir Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam does not like Rashi's Pshat. What was Rashi's Pshat? Rashi's Pshat was basically the Gemara in Yevamos. That David was the one who assered the Nesinim. Right? That was what Rashi told us. In fact, Taisus can't be. Why? The Ein Nir Rabbeinu Tam. Says Taisus, it can't be. Because from the Gemara on the next page, on Daf Chof Tesamid Beis, we'll get there soon in Mitzvah Shem, the Gemara says that Nesina is an Isser Deraisa. According to David, Nesina is not an Isser Deraisa. According to the Gemara, Nesina is not an Isser Deraisa. It's only an Isser Deraisa from David. Again, depending which Gemara you're going to pick, right? Let's assume the Gemara not about Loisus Chatma. We'll put that Gemara aside. We'll answer like the Ritva. Right? So the Gemara only thinks what's wrong with the Gevoinim is the fact that David was geizer on them. So for Taisa, there's a Gemara that's mashman like that. Why? The mashman Gemara didn't see the Havidei Raisa. The Ka'oma, the Gemara says, Mamzeris bin Asin Ikabinai. The Gemara over there on Amud Beis is talking about two different din. There's one din called Isha Haruya Likaima, a lady that you could stay married to. And there's one type of lady who you're even able to marry her in the first place. There's two separate din. There's certain people that there's no Tefisa's Kedushin, you can't even marry them if you attempted to. And there's those people that even if you get married to them, the Torah doesn't want you staying married to them. They're not considered Ru'i L'Kayim, the Torah wants the relationship to end as soon as possible. But you can marry them. The Chalois goes through. And if I want to marry this tree, I can't. Maybe with a new president, you'd be allowed to do such a thing. But okay, whatever, that's a political discussion. I can't marry a tree because no Tefisa's Kedushin to a tree. But if I go over to a certain woman, that there is Tefisa's Kedushin, so the Kedushin goes through. And then Chazal says, you know what? I don't like this marriage. Although it went through, it's not so kosher. I don't like it. Let's force you guys to break up. And then there's another certain circumstance. You can't even get the marriage off the ground in the first place. So the Gemara says, what would there be in nafkamina between those two drushes? Drushes. They're all learned from the Torah. So the Gemara says, the nafkamina would be Mamzeris and Nesina. Lemanda am a roi l'kaimo. If you hold the roi l'kaimo. So the Gemara says, they're not roi l'kaimo. Kedushin's chabal, they're not royal kaima. Mashma the habi deraisa. It must be deraisa. The ha bikra pli, because they're arguing a pasuk. So what's Taisus's argument? Taisus's argument is that the Gemara is saying that the Torah, when it says in the Torah, who is a woman that you could stay married to, the Torah meant that an Asina is not a woman you could stay married to. But the Torah has no problem with an Asina, according to Rashi. It's only the Rabbanan that had a problem with an Asina. So Frek Taisus, how could Rashi tell us that David was the one who answered Givoinim and Asinim? You see from the Gemara that the one who had a problem with them was really the Torah. The Torah was the one who said you can't stay married to her. So what's the simple answer, everyone? Well, again, we're holding now the subsequent generations, because we're talking about giving them a knas bizmana mishnah. What's the simple answer? That when the Torah says you can't stay married to them, that's the Torah figuring that you're going to listen to the rabbis. There's two reasons why you can't do something. The Torah doesn't let you, and sometimes the rabbis don't let you. So when the Torah said you need to be able to have a woman that you could stay married to, the Torah didn't care why you can't stay married to her. Is it because I can't stay married to her because the Torah doesn't let me, or I can't stay married to her because I have a mitzvah to listen to the rabbanon who say I can't stay married to her? It's a practical thing. It's a practical reality. I can't stay married to this woman. Not because of the Torah, because of the Rabbanan. And the Mela, I can't stay married to her. Who cares what? Says the Shita Mekubetzes, number 9, that's the answer. The Yesh Taritz, the Anan Hachi Karminan, the Mute Hanan, the Enam Ruin Lekaima, you can't stay married to them, but I feel to have a Rabbanan. Mikomokam, I ain't a Ruin Lekaima. I don't care why you can't stay married to this woman. This is a woman you can't stay married to. No, the Gemara wants to say there's a group of women that you're not allowed to stay married to, and the Gemara says, oh, you know what that group is? That group is a Nesina. A Nesina is a woman who you can't stay married to, even though you were able to marry her in the first place.
Okay, but they're not claiming that the Torah specifies
the Gemara said, this and a mamzeris.
So then what the Torah is anticipating that Chachamim are going to make a gezeira about these people?
No, the Torah is saying that there is certain women you have to be able to marry them, and if you can't stay, you have to stay married to them, and I don't care why you can't stay married to them. If for whatever reason you can't stay married to them, this is whatever the halacha is going to be.
What I'm saying is, but why would the Torah pick?
No, it wasn't only that. The Gemara saying an afkamina that would come out between being married, being able to get married, and to being staying married would be this group, mamzeris and a nesina.
What
it says, because we're going to get to when the Torah talks about which women you have to be able to be married to. So it says lakachta leisha, you take her for a wife. So the Gemara says it has to be royal leisha. You have to be able to be married to her. So the Gemara says, do you have to be married to her or be able to make a marriage to her? So the Gemara says, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Nesina Mamzeris, you can make a marriage, but you can't stay married. So it says, Taisa, what do you mean you can't stay married? Midaraisa, I can stay married to her, because Midaraisa, she's not also. So it says that she did well. That's not what the term meant. The term meant any woman that you can't live with, stay married to, no matter what. And it's
how is she not also Midaraisa?
Because according to Rashi, David was the only one that answered them. Right, according to Rashi, as far as we're concerned, they were mutter.
So,
we don't want you continuing being married, right?
This is all Tosfos within Rashi.
This is Tosfos's understanding of Rashi, correct. Now,
wait, maybe the answer could be that David, that's what David was goes there, that Tzvisa wouldn't even be Chal. Can you say that?
Well, again, how did David do that? That's what we have to figure out. Could David do that? That's part of, I guess, what we need to get to. What did David do and how did he accomplish that? So yeah, Blinad, we're going to hopefully tackle that more next week. If we could just turn to the next page of the Maamar Mekaymus, which I don't know if my daughter is listening. I hope she is, so she can turn the page for everyone. Because she's the host now. Like at home, she's the boss. In any case, there's a Rambam in number 9. The Rambam writes, I don't have any, I can't control it. The Rambam writes in number 9 the following. Write the Rambam. Hoysa anusuzu asura alav afilu mechav yaseh. Let's say a person is ma'anis a girl, and she's not usher to him midaraisa, but she's usher to him from an asay. Oy vafilu shnius. Well, let's say, for example, their isser is midarabon. It's an isser midarabon. Zag the Rambam lo yisoena. He's not allowed to marry her. Meaning, there's no tefisas kedushin. You're not allowed to marry her, even though the Torah says veloisi eliisha. You're supposed to marry her after you're ma'anis her. And we learned last week that's even if you don't want to marry her, which might be a chelik of the kenas as we spoke about last week. But Zag the Rambam, but if she's someone who's an isser derabbanan, you're not allowed to marry her. So what's the obvious kasha? Midaraisa, you're allowed to marry her. So she's an isha ruy lekaima. She is able to marry. How are the rabbanan going to tell you not to do it? Zag the kesef mishnah number 10 kasha kiva the midaraisa sharia isha shehi ruy eloi. So what do you mean? This lady, as far as the Torah is concerned, I'm alive, she's only missed the Rabbanan. So she's considered an Isha Harui Lekaima. She's an Isha that I'm able to marry, so why should I not fulfill the Ratzon HaTorah and marry her? The Efsher says the Kesef Mishnah, Kiva the Mizikasiv, Ushmartim, Mishmarti. Ah, thank you, Adina. Since it says. Oh, you spoke to her? Okay. Kiva, you tell her things she listens, okay? Maybe tell her tonight to do her homework.
Yeah.
V'kiva, not that she doesn't do her mix, I know she's listening. Okay, kiva the mixiv u'shmarti mis v'shmarti matzu chachomim mokim la'aser shnius. Ikal meim adishnia imaitim aloisia liisha. Zokter kesavish the mamish deshita mukabetzis. Once the Chazal asked a lady called a shnius, a lady who's only asked the rabbanon, she's now considered an isha. That's not loisia liisha. I can't marry her. Not because the Torah doesn't let me, because the rabbis don't let me. But who cares why you're not doing it? At the end of the day, you're not marrying her. Zakti Kesef Mishnah, Ikal Mem Mishnah, Ubulav, Kivin the Chomili, the Rabbanas, Machinu Alav, the Lois Sasser, Shab Ikal Mem, the Shani, Imute, Melois, Yelisha. Zakti Kesef Mishnah, it's very logical to say that a second, a Shnias, which is only Nisid Rabbanan, is also not included with Lois Yelisha. When it says in Torah, marry her. The Torah allows me to marry her. The answer is the Torah does not allow you to marry her. The Torah says you have to marry only someone that either the Torah allows or the Rabbanan allow. And since the Rabbanan don't allow, you're not allowed to marry her. Which is Mamash what we're saying from the Shittim Kubetzis. Because the Asay of Lois Elisha was structured by Lois Sasser. It was Lois Elisha. So here's where we're going to have to say this is Gufa the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So, meaning, what was Tosfos thinking when he asked this Kashan Rashi? Isn't it so posh the answer that we're saying now? Right? Tosfos is fragging on Rashi. Rashi, I don't get you. You're calling it an Isser Rabban. If it be an Isser Rabban, how can you call it not Lois Elisha? So we're saying, what do you mean, Rashi? It's not a Kashan Rashi. Because Lois Elisha is practical. Can you or can't you marry her? And the Maisa, you can't because we kept the Rabban. Says Ibn David Kviat in his Sukkah's David number 11. So what was Tosfos thinking? Ubedasa Tosfos near the Heim Meforshim Ru'i L'Kaim Ma'ainu Shizel Din Beguf Isha. He understood Ru'i L'Kaim is not whether or not the rabbis will let you marry her, it's whether or not she is Ru'i to marry you. So he says, Ibn Ishiti Ru'i L'Kaim of Aloisha Toli Zebim Mitzias. We don't care about whether or not you actually will go through with the marriage because the Rabbana will allow or not allow you. This girl, is she able to marry? The answer is yes. Because Midaraisa, she's mother to me. So you have a fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to define an Isha that's Ru'i for you. Is that defined by a lady who you could technically marry and be married to without anyone getting involved? Or is it defined by a lady that the Torah views as someone you can marry? Even if technically you won't be allowed to because the Rabbana won't allow you. That's how he wants to be mazal machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Yeah. Lois is chatin. Well, we didn't get to this yet. Lois is chatin is the question of who you're allowed to marry. Isha Roi L'Kaim is who am I allowed to stay married to? So the Rashi and Tosfos are going to argue that I can have a woman that technically I'm allowed to be married to, stay married to, and the Rabbanan tell me I can't, but that's still considered Isha Roi L'Kaim. Isha Roi L'Kaim is not defined by the Rabbanan, it's defined by reality. Or the way he calls it, it's defined by the real status between me and her. Me and her can stay married. It's just the Rabbanan keep on getting in the way because they tell us we can't do it. While Tosfos will say, right? Oh, while Rashi will say, no, that's what the Torah meant. When the Torah said, can you stay married to her? You have to take everything into consideration. The Torah, the Rabbanan, and all that. That's how he wants to explain the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Okay.
When you say called Mekadesh, that's the Rabbanan
Mekadesh.
So the Rabbanan have the ability to change his status of the woman, or they can only say, we're
going to
block?
So the Pashtus is, they'll say that we're not going to let this condition go through. We're not going to allow such a condition. That's right. Something like that. Okay, so this is Tosfos' kasha. So if you go back to page, I'm sorry for jumping around with everyone over here, but if you go back to page 1, number 8, Tosfos continues, he writes, V'oid, I have another raya. The Tanan, Elu Ein HaLoikin, there's a Mishnah in Malkus that says, who gets Malkus? Mamzeres v'nesina liYisrael. If a person lives with a Mamzeres, or he lives with a Nesina, he gets Malkus. Mashma deloki ole mederaisa. It must mean he gets Malkus Midaraisa. Dumyo de Cholhanat the Chosh of Hassan. Like all the other people that are mentioned in that Mishnah that are Isui Deraisa. So Fractai says, how could you get Malkus Midaraisa for living within a Sina? She's only Yasa from David. As they fract the Taisus. Then Taisus says something very interesting. Miu Ikala Meimar, the Becholhanach Nakti Nesina Agav Mamzeris. Says Taisus, maybe not. Maybe that even though the Mishnah lumped Nesina together with the Mamzeres, they don't have the same rules. The Sina is the Rabbanah, Mamzeres is the Raisa, even though they're lumped together. So Frank the Ritva, number 8b, he says, why would anyone think like that? The Lekalameima says the Ritva, the Agav Mamzeres, Toni Nesina. The Rabbanah and Kedik Toni Grush and Chalutz. Sometimes the Gemara says, well, we put Grush and Chalutz together, but they're really, you know, not the same. The Shlomo Chalutza, the Dami, the Grusha, Katani, Ametalusa. Sometimes you'll put Grusha and Chalutza in the same group because there's a similarity between a Grusha and a Chalutza. Avon Nesina, Mashaychas by Mamzeres. What does Nesina have to do with Mamzeres? Mamzeres is also Lavi Bekahal, La'olam, La'dairis, based on Exerus HaKosov. Nesina was also because of David. Why would you put them in the same category?
Because they're both Jewish and can't marry in, as opposed to the other
okay.
three.
So that's maybe what Taisus will tell you. Taisus will tell you that there is a way of saying that they belong in the same group, even though they're not perfectly similar. So why would you put the two in the same group and say, well, I said one, and I really meant the other? There is no shaykh between the two of them. There's different as day and night. Okay. So there's a pinay issue over here that I want to get to because it was all on last week's Maamar Kaimis, and I don't want to still be 2 weeks behind. So there's a ritva over here. No, the pinay issue number 12 wants to answer up for Rashi as well. Again, what's the kasha from the Mishnah Makis? The Mishnah Makis says that if you live within a city, you get Malkus Midaraisa. According to Rashi, it's only Nisid Rabban. Says the pinay issue number 12 like this. He says, El Mishnah, the Perikim Mamidim Masik Ashas. I'm on the wrong page over here.
No, you took care of it already?
Okay. When do you violate Lois Chatin? The lav derais of Lois Chatin. When is that a violation? That's when you want to marry her. You want to marry this woman. You go over to her, you give her a ring. So the Torah says, ah, you just did the yis of Lois Chatin. But if you just stam as they live with her, not in the context of any relationship, that's not the love of lois chatin, which makes a lot of sense because the Torah doesn't say lois si boel or lois avoy. It says lois chatin. Don't make a chitum. Don't make a chasana.
But isn't it also they were worried about the future that you shouldn't? So if you're not getting married, then maybe not.
Okay, I mean you're explaining why you think it should be like that. Okay.
And you have a different lav.
Yeah, you'll have other isurim. Right. But the lav of lois chatin, this lav that we've been discussing this morning, would only apply to someone who you tempted it through issues. So zog the pnei yeshua v'imkei mashma, the koshkin de begerusin sheikh l'chalei b'kach. So this is definitely true after the megay. Hashdi shaper tuva, now everything is beautiful, says the pnei yeshua. Why? The hanach, the sanhedrin, the makis, when the gemara talks about giving malchus to an isha who's an asina, what did you do with that lady? That's taka deraisa. Why? Kishabala derechishas. That's not stamas that you picked her up in the street and you just reboil her. You attempted to have a marriage with her. When you have a marriage with a woman who's one of the Zayin Amim, that's lois chatin. But Frank, what are you trying to do in our Mishnah? You're being honest, sir. You're not trying to, you know, build a relationship with her. Masha ain't kain, but mastis in the hocha de ilo narishesham knas. Da kochach ayishabala derechnos. How'd you come to live with this woman? What were you doing with her? So you were trying to live with her. This is nus. So therefore, mishamachi le'motzi rashi lefarash misham delav zeschatin. That's why Rashi couldn't say it's lois zeschatin, because lois zeschatin is only if it's derech ishus. And our mission is not derech ishus. Our mission is derech nus.
No. But we're talking about in the future. Meaning, does it not apply to someone who you can't marry?
Right, but the question is... the question is, what status did she have at the time when you lived with her? What type of woman was she?
Right, but not...
No, it sounds like from the Bnei Yeshua. The question is, at the time of when you lived with her, what status, what type of woman was she? What Issa was she?
Trying to differentiate between Maisa's Nus and Maisa's
Ishus. No, he wants to say it's totally at the time of when the act happened, which is the Sibas HaMachayev. Right? Let's see, he writes over here. He says, "Mishumach le'motzi rashi farsh mishum la'av lois eschatin." L'chein hutzach le'farsh mitam achrim. The David goes alei mishum chash iser avdus. Meaning, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with her. What's her psul? No.
Dina.
No.
Dina.
We're trying to figure out.
Page two.
We're trying to figure out now.
Page two. There was a typo.
I give all the. Only, if only the lottery numbers would also come down like that. Okay. In any case, I think the point is we're trying to figure out. What's wrong with this woman? What's her issue? So Rashi said her issue is that David asked her. So frak the achareinim, why didn't you say the issue is because of lois chatin? It's issue that writes of lois chatin. It says b'nei shu, because right now in this context she wouldn't be a lois chatin girl. You're saying, well, we're looking at the future. Yeah, it's gonna be a separate conversation of how do we deal with her going forward. Even though
you can't marry her,
right? Meaning you're saying that according to b'nei Yeshua, what happens at the time of the mice is not as important as the post facto story. I hear. Okay, it's a good aura. And according to Pnei Yeshua, the whole answer is that when is the lois is chatin? That's when you're coming on her derech ishus. And our mission is not derech ishus; you're just being boiler. So the question is: so what? We're not dining on now; we're dining on in the future. Okay, it's a good aura. Okay, Belinda, the next Sunday we will be discussing the Taisus's pshat. This was the hard part, Rabbi Say. I know it was a little hard. Next week is more Geshmak. Is Taisus's pshat? How Taisus understood the Isra of the Sina? How he understood the Isra of the Givayim? Okay.